But if we're not going to start being a little bit uncomfortable and stop pushing ourselves here, I think we're going to see a very different new emerging market that is going to take to that real fourth wave, you know, which I believe the fourth wave, it's going to be, you know, the signature beverages, that's going to be what's happening in the Asian community.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 2 of a 5-part series with Noah Adra from Stitch Coffee in Australia. Stitch is a cafe, 2 cafes, a roastery, and a B2C brand as well. And B2B. Also B2B and B2C, right? And B2B. Excellent. Thank you for the correction, sir. Noah, we're talking about the Australian coffee scene. And so in this episode, I kind of want to help people understand what's happening in the Australian coffee scene at the moment. Because we all know that while the Americans would like to have an argument with me every fucking time I say this, that specialty coffee started in America, a lot of the world really takes a lot of their cues from what happened in Sydney and Melbourne 20 years ago and the boom that happened there. And we're really seeing echoes of that and ripple effects of that over the past 20 years. But what's happening around the world right now is very unique with regards to different emerging markets. I was just in Busan last week. There is a lot of interesting stuff happening all over Asia with regards to coffee and the different ways that they're setting up, the way that Luckin's moving through the market, the way Coty's moving through the market, the way Starbucks is moving through the market, but also the way that smaller businesses are moving through the market across Asia. In Australia, we've had a very kind of similar model across the last 20 years in the sense that small businesses, neighborhood cafes, we have a very well cultivated coffee consuming market, right? What does that look like today?
Very good question. I think, you know, me visiting Asia a lot and being able to go to Dubai with you and see what's happening around the world, I think Australia has really kind of plateaued a lot.
Right.
Like, we're not seeing crazy innovation. We're not seeing something unbelievably going on. We're not seeing anything like, you know, outside our normal activities. Yeah. I think we just want to be comfortable. You know, we just want to be comfortable in the way we run the business and the way things goes. But unfortunately, the comfortable zone is finished, right? So there is no more a lot of cups during the day from one customer to probably sometimes 3 a week instead of 5 a week. So you can see that a lot less and less people are actually consuming coffee these days. We can see because, you know, we do a lot of B2B as well. Cafes mm-hmm. are not as busy as they were before. Like, you know, the number of 50 kilo a week, you're like, wow, you know, back in the days was like good account.
I want to ask you about that. Let me just ask you something about that. When we were coming up in the industry, high volume was
80 plus
a week. 80 plus kilos, folks. Like, yeah. Just so that here, 100 kilos a month is a big deal. When you and I were coming up, we worked at an espresso machine together where we were doing that a week.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's like a good account's 35 to 40. Consider, wow, they're doing really well. But, you know, I think another concept is what happened is a lot of cafes started. They started specialty, but then they realized, you know what, if I do iced coffee, if I do the matcha, I think
matcha's going out of control.
On.
Yeah.
It's going crazy, you know. All the other cold beverages is really kind of taking off more than the coffee itself. I mean, we're becoming an ice latte. All the millennials becoming more of an ice latte. They're not anymore a very, you know, I've never thought to myself, I will run out of clear cups. You know, the takeaway clear cups, they move really faster.
Like
which is quite interesting.
The ice latte kind of things? Wow.
The ice drinks. So it's changing, but I think we're kind of following the world now, but we're a little bit slower.
Okay.
We like to be comfortable. We don't, because, you know, as you said, and I could see when I went through other places, like, you know, visiting China, for example, 6 different cities. Every city has a very different palate,
unique.
Very different food, very unique, right? But then when you go to Australia, we are all kind of like, we all do the same thing.
Mm.
Like you can, you know, some almost the same food across Adelaide to Sydney, to Melbourne, to all that. So we're really not really bringing anything extraordinary. Probably there's a few of us that right now trying to adapt to, you know, more filter bar, more specialty, more high end, but we're still like, you know, we can count them by hand.
Yeah.
How many they are in each city, you know, and which one is actually, you know, kind of pushing the boundary to that next level. But, you know, stuff like what I realized a lot happening in Asia is signature drink, being able to marry, you know, the mocktail or how do you make, you know, instead of alcoholic cocktail, how do you base it on coffee and how do you make it in different ways and very innovative way and all that. So I could see us here, we're not really, we don't want to think outside the box. We don't want to push ourselves to get out and say, let's try something new. Let's try something different. You know, everything we're doing previously is not working, you know, and to do the same thing and, you know, very hard, like to move from $4.50 to $5.
The Australian consumer won't let you do that.
Yeah. Like in Melbourne is accepted, in Sydney is not accepted yet. Like we just did the move, you know, and it took me, I'll be honest, you know, 4 months of thinking about it, you know, it wasn't an easy decision to take, but there was a couple of articles that were just kind of telling people, hey, just be prepared that this is going to happen. And I think, you know, we were a little bit more, advanced in our signature drink. So we kind of introduced signature drink early on, and we were able to capitalize on being, you know, one of the first one in Sydney. Now there's others moving in the same direction.
Folks, go get the yuzu cocktail. Is it yuzu and watermelon or yuzu and...
Well, we use yuzu cold brew and watermelon cold brew. And
go get that from Sitch if you're in Sydney. I'll have the honey fizz the next time that I'm there.
Yeah.
But the yuzu cocktail is outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. It's
really delicious. So those are, I see them kind of, you know, we need to start focusing on something a little bit different. I think we need to start looking outside and how do we change what people think about coffee. But here, I think we're very comfortable, and that is the big problem.
Do you think that the reason that business owners are staying in that comfort zone is because customers are not prepared to be adventurous, or the customer doesn't have the luxury to do that? Or is it because the business owners are feeling so much pressure they're holding everything together, barely?
I think it's a combination, right?
Like, okay.
I think it's a combination. It's definitely, you know, they are in their elements, you know. I mean, they're doing the most hours these days, you know. They're working.
Who? The business owner?
Three, the business owners, you know, because they have to save somewhere somehow. Right. So it's very hard for them to kind of, you know, put their head up and say, all right, we're going to do something new and I'm going to, you know, invest, you know, $400 to come up with a new signature drink or something like that, right?
So it's really not,
it's not easy, right? Like, you know, sometimes they change wholesale because someone gave them 50 cents cheaper, you know.
And they were raced to the bottom, right?
Like, you know, do you really think $100 a week going to save your business? I don't think so. I think, you know, you have to think a little bit beyond there's a bigger problem and like, just raise your prices, you know, like, and you have to stand by it and you have to make sure that you don't drop the quality, you know, and your customer will understand. Like, we didn't have a single complaint yet, knock on wood, so far about being $4.50 to $5. But I think people have started to accept that, you know, to be in a place that serve and you can see 3-4 baristas and you can see, you know, how serious they are about coffee, to expect to pay more for coffee. It's, you know, it's something that they will understand. But if we're not going to start being a little bit uncomfortable and stop pushing ourselves here, I think we're going to see a very different new emerging market that is going to take to that real fourth wave, you know, which I believe the fourth wave, it's going to be, you know, the signature beverages, that's going to be what's happening in the Asian community a lot. And you can see a big shift over there. And people seem to enjoy coffee. Here, we don't have it. Here, it's a consumption. It's something to wake me up, or it's a breakfast.
It's a functional drink.
Or it's just part
drink.
Of my daily. It's a functional drink. It's not, let's sit down and let's talk about the aromatics that is coming out of this, you know, pour over today. You know?
Is that what they're doing in China?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can really? Sit down for hours and talk about
coffee.
But there's a big, it's amazing. Like the palate over there, I'm like, I don't even taste what you guys tasting.
For real?
Insane. Yeah, they're seriously, it was insane. Because, you know, their food is so freaking
intense.
There's so much going on in their food. It's so intense. It's so.
Bro, I'm still structured. Hungry from Korea.
Yeah, you know, it's insane. So. And I'm not saying we don't know how to drink coffee, but we are very good at drinking espresso. We are strong at milk-based coffee, you know, but we're not strong at sit down, enjoy a filter, really appreciate the cup, understand a little bit more about coffee and learn why you need to, you know, give more time and effort towards it, you know.
Tell me, in the last episode, you were saying that food now plays a bigger role in the cafe than coffee did, or it's the balance is shifting.
It's like, it's always, food was always a strong reason, right? But we always think to ourselves, good coffee would bring people, and then
it was a loss leader for that reason, right?
Yes, but now it's like kind of food is the bringer and coffee become, you know, as you know, an add-on or something along those lines, you know, in some cases. So you realize food is of course, there are some cafes, very specific cafes, where they were lucky and they only served coffee for many, many years and they're known for that purpose, right? So they still exist, those good names. But now if you coming in and all that, like, it's very, very hard. You do need other reason for them to come in and spend, because you do need to have extra income so you can pay the staff, you can afford.
Do you think
to do what you can afford?
Do you think, well, actually, let me ask you this way. What role do you think market saturation is playing in this?
Oh, massive, because, you know, as I said, we you know, in Australia, we have a very good amount of amazing coffee shops.
Mm.
You know, like, we have a very, very good amount of, you know, good quality food, good, you know, but our coffee is very similar. You know, as well. And our offering is very similar. So hence why you're going to see a lot more saturation. And our market is not getting any bigger. You know, the market is not like, you know,
it's still 25 million people. Yeah,
exactly. So when I came to Australia, it was probably 23. You know, it's not like we tripled or doubled or in the last 17 years. So we're really hovering, you know, and now the house is so expensive. The rent is like, ooh,
can
next
you
level.
Tell people like what rent is like. And people don't believe me when I tell them.
Two bedroom is like, you know, our two bedroom, $950 almost a week, you know.
So. A week, folks. Like for those of you in the States that are paying like, you know, $2,000. A month. We're talking like almost $1,000 a week. So
yeah,
it's wild.
Just two bedroom. It's not like, you know, that's way more expensive. And you have to live really far, but you know, it's quite expensive. Like it's not cheap. So a lot of things has changed. The other things that changed that we didn't do before, also marketing, branding, spending on all these exercises that didn't exist few years back, you know, where everybody was about word of mouth. You know, you put a post on Instagram, then you get this, you're going to be busy for a while, happy days. But now you have to constantly remind people of your existence, you know. You can't say, hey, I'm here, I'm there. And you have to spend a lot more money on branding. You know, people want to see you as a lifestyle. They don't want to see you as just passing by, you know. Some consumers are changing. There's a lot happening.
In the next episode, I want to talk more about, we're going to talk about like the struggles. We've talked about the struggles, but I want to talk specifically about it from a coffee roaster perspective. Because in all of this, because the cafe model in Australia is very interesting compared to, let's say, the cafe model here in Dubai, right? Here, the cafe model, you never really talk about who's roasting your coffee here in the cafe. In Australia, it was a part of what your consumer, the first question they asked you when you opened was, whose coffee are you using? And I'd like to know a little bit more about how that's positioning now. And we're going to talk about that in the next episode, because B2B is something that is becoming less and less and less attractive to roasting companies around the world. So let's have a conversation about that in the next episode. Please join us, folks. Peace, love and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day.
Bye-bye.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.